We're holding on page Samach Hey in Rosh Hashanah, Ois Gimel. We learned yesterday, Machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua about various events in Jewish history, whether they happen in Nisan or in Tishrei. We said there's a number of them that everybody agrees. Everybody agrees, of course, Yitzchak Mitzrayim was in Nisan. The Gula Mitzvah Shleim was Machlokas, whether Nisan or Tishrei. Everybody agrees that Rosh Hashanah Yosef got out of jail and the Jewish people stopped having to work in Mitzrayim. But we had a machlokas in particular about when the Ovis were born and when the world was created in Nisan or in Tishrei, meaning beginning at the end of Adar or beginning at the end of Elul, and also when the Ovis were born and passed away. So now we're going to talk about that in more detail. So we learned yesterday that we learned the basis for Rabbi Eliezer's and Rabbi Yeshua's opinions about when the world was created based on analyzing Psukim by Maaseh Bereishis. And we discussed that Rabbi Eliezer gets that the Ovis were born in Tishrei. When we say the Ovis, we mean Avraham and Yaakov, Yitzchak, as we're going to go on to say, was born Pesach. Because the Pasuk calls Tishrei Yerach HaEsonim, and we said Esonim means the mighty, powerful ones, the ones who are the foundation of the whole world, which is the Ovis. So now the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yeshua, Nisan, know the Ovis. How do we know that the Ovis were born in Nisan? Shenema, the Pasuk says, "Vayhi shana Mitzrayim." In the 480th year since the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, in the 480th year since the Jewish people left Mitzrayim. In the fourth year, Bechodesh Ziv, in the month of Ziv, which we're going to define. So Bechodesh Ziv means Nisan, and that means Yerach Shana, or actually it's Iyar. Actually, the Pasuk says that was when they first began building the first Beis Mikdash. So earlier in the Masechta, actually, the Gemara learns from that Pasuk that. That we learn from that the months are counted from Nisan, and therefore that and then therefore since it says that the Beis Mikdash was built beginning in the second month, and it also says it was in the second month of the new year of Shlomo's kingship, so we learn from that that Jewish kings' years are counted from Nisan. Anyway, the point is it calls that month Chodesh Ziv. Yerach Shanol by Ziv Sonei Olam. So it means that that's the month in which the radiant ones of the world were born. The word Ziv Sonei means it means like Ziv means radiant. And Tosfos also points out the word Ziv, or actually Marsha points out the word Ziv also refers to somebody of great importance. So therefore, the greatly important ones, the ones who illuminated the whole world, were born in that month. Now, so we're saying Iyar, though, the Pasuk is referring to Iyar, so how we say Nisan. So Rashi gives two explanations. By the time Iyar began, they had already been born. In other words, you could say that Iyar is the first full month in which they were alive in the world. Or Rashi points out both of these answers. Tosfos also gives earlier in the Masechta that the other answer is that we have to distinguish between Nisan on the Jewish calendar and the equivalent of Nisan on the solar calendar. Namely, you have Nisan, you have the Jewish Nisan begins with Chodesh Nisan and ends with Lamed, but then you also have a Nisan Shel Tzkufa, meaning the first 30 or 31 or so days after the spring equinox. Which that takes place, according to Shmuel, it takes place in early Shmuel's Tkufa has it in early April. Astronomically, it's in late March. Whatever you count from there, 30 days, and often that extends into year. Sometimes, for example, you'll have Pesach will be quite early in the secular year, and therefore a considerable amount of the first month of Tkufas Nisan will extend into year. So Rashi says, therefore, that's what it can mean. They were actually born in year, but we're calling it Nisan because it was Nisan Shel Tkufa. So Rabbi Yeshua says that there we see that the Ovis were born in Nisan because it calls it Bechodesh Ziv. So the Gemara asks about Ksib Yerach HaEsonim. So what does he do with the Pasuk that refers to Tishrei as Yerach HaEsonim, where we said Esonim means the mighty, powerful ones? And he said the Gemara answers Hasim Tzkifi B'mitzvahs. He says it's not called that because the Ovis were born then. It's called that because Tishrei, it's a month that's powerful and mighty with mitzvahs. Shofar, Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Lulav, Arav, and Nischamayim. Rashi catalogs all of them. So you have it's a month that's mighty and powerful, full of mitzvahs. So therefore, it's got nothing to do with the others. So the Idach Haksiv Nami B'Chodesh Ziv. What about according to Rabbi Eliezer? Why is Chodesh Nisan or Iyar rather called Ziv? And the answer is Ahum Mishum De'Isbe Ziva Le'iloni. Nothing to do with the Ovis, but rather because the trees have a radiance. Then they're beautiful. They're blossoming at that time, and therefore it's called Chodesh Ziv. the Omer of Yehuda, as in fact Rabbi Yehuda says halacha, Haiman the Nafik v'yemid Nissan, a person goes out during the days of Nissan, v'chazil ilani the malavli, and he sees that the trees are blossoming. Oimer, then he says the bracha, Baruch, after Hashem alakein malach haolam, of course, shaloi chisa ba'olamei klum, that Hashem did not make anything lacking in his world, uvara by brias toivus, and Hashem created in it beautiful creatures, the ilonis toivus, and beautiful trees, the hisnois behen b'nei adam, that people should enjoy them and find them beautiful, or the gears that the Alter Rebbe has is lehonis behen b'nei adam, which amounts to the same thing. The point is that, and that's Dafka during Nissan when the trees are radiant and in bloom, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer says that's why Nissan or Iyar is called Chodesh Ziv, nothing to do with when the Ovis were born. As far as halachas in this, by the way, in principle, the poskim say that it doesn't Dafka have to be Nissan. It could be in Adar or in Iyar. It could be in the southern hemisphere. It would be in Elul or Tishrei, depending when the trees blossom in an area. Although Api Kabbalah, there is an Inyan that it's Dafka during Nissan. So the Gemara points out, Manda Omer ben Nissan Neldu Ovis ben Nissan Nesu. Now Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that the Ovis were born in Nissan, he holds they also passed away in Nissan. Manda Omer ben Tishrei Neldu ben Tishrei Nesu. And the opinion that says that they were born in Tishrei holds that they also passed away in Tishrei. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ben Meir Ve'Esrim Shana Anochi HaYoyim Ve'Gomer. Moshe says on himself, I'm 120 years old today, and today is the day I'm going to pass away. So She'en Tamud Lema HaYoyim. Now, it didn't need to say HaYoyim, because he's talking to them today. He could just say, Ben Meir Ve'Esrim Shana Anochi. So Uma Tamud Lema HaYoyim. So what does he mean to add by that word HaYoyim? It means Hayoyim Molu Yomayo Shnoisai. Today my days and my years have been filled up. It's his 120th birthday. Lalamdacha, this teaches you, Shakodesh Bochu Yoshiva Malashna Sam Shot Sadikim, Mi Yoim the Yoim and Chodesh Al Chodesh. Hashem sits and fills up the years of Tzadikim from day to day and from month to month. In other words, that Hashem arranges it that Tzadikim or certain exceptional Tzadikim pass away on the exact day that they were born. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, as mispo yemecha amale, Hashem says, I will fill in your years. Tosfos points out that actually a Gemara elsewhere in Yevamos says primarily that doesn't refer so much, that promise as mispo yemecha amale is not so much primarily referring to people passing away on the exact day they were born, but rather that Hashem will fill in the time that Hashem had originally apportioned, that when a person, the Gemara has machlokas over there, is it that the amount of time that Hashem apportioned to the person when he was first conceived is that the maximum and that's it, but he could lose years from that if he doesn't deserve it, or is it the other way around, that he'll have that, and then if he does extra mice and toivim, then that can be added to that. So the Gemara mentions, according to one opinion, as Mispa Yemecha Amale means Hashem is saying, I will fill in the days that you were apportioned to begin with when you were first conceived, and you won't be lacking any of those. But here, the Gemara is taking it also in the sense that it means that there are certain exceptional tzaddikim where Hashem actually makes that their years are filled in from day to day. There's a couple of things about this. First of all, we find this in connection with David Amalek as well. And Marsha points out in Kedushin, the word Mole is Gematria 71. So for example, you have by David Amalek, and we're saying over here, by certain other tzaddikim of that caliber, like he reaches exactly his 70th birthday, which means he starts his 71st year, and that's the significance of the word Mole in that connection. The Pnei Yeshua points out, so why do we need two different proofs from Moshe's Hayoim and from Asmispa Yemecha Amale? And he says, because one of them, if we only had one of them, then we would say, like we're saying in the Gemara and Yevamos, that it just means that the person is going to live out the number of years Hashem gave. On the other hand, if we only had the Pasuk by Moshe, you would say it's a one-time thing in history by Moshe. We don't necessarily find it to be true of other tzaddikim. Therefore, we need both Pesukim. The Rebbe talks about in Sichas in a couple of places. We find openly by the Mitzvah Rebbe, we find that he was born and passed away on Tes Kislev. On the other hand, by the other Rebbeim, we don't find it openly. And so the Rebbe talks about, you have certain tzaddikim where Hashem shows that begolui, and then you have other ones where it's not, doesn't come down begolui in our physical world, but nevertheless, the Inyan is true. The Rebbe one time talked about in connection with the Rambam, for example. He was born Erev Pesach and passed away Chof Tevis, which was 83 days between them. 83 being the number of sections of halachas in the Yad HaChazaka. So in a certain sense, his years were filled in to exactly 70 by those 83 days that are represented by the 83 sets of halachas that he wrote. Anyway, the point is that the Gemara is saying that we have to assume as a given, again, that if Avraham and Yaakov were born in Tishrei, then they passed away in Tishrei. And if they were born in Nisan, they passed away in Nisan. Now, by the way, the Gemara is not really dealing with that as far as Yitzchak. Yitzchak, we said before, everybody agrees was born on Pesach, and now the Gemara is going to work out how we know that. It never actually says in so many words anywhere how we know that Yitzchak passed away on Pesach. And in fact, the Aruch HaNeir points out, after all, we know Yitzchak went blind many years before he passed away, and Oni Choshev and a blind person, Sumo Choshev Kemes. So you can say it doesn't really matter so much when he actually passed away, when he reached his 180 years. The fact that we could say the time when he became blind to that extent could be considered his death, and therefore that could have happened during Nisan, and it doesn't really matter so much the actual day that he passed away. Okay. But Pesach know that Yitzchak Menolon. Where do we know that Yitzchak was born on Pesach? And Maharsha pointed out earlier that the Avraham and Yaakov are more associated with the Midas of Chesed and Rachamim, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer insists that they were born during Tishrei, because that should be the month of Hashem's Rachamim. Hashem is judging the world, but we want that it should be with Rachamim, and therefore Hashem arranged, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that the others should be born during that month. But Pesach, Pesach is more associated with Gvura, Yetzias Mitzrayim. L'cha Hashem Agdula v'Hagvura, the Gemara says in Brachas, Agvura refers to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore, it wouldn't have been appropriate for Yitzchak to be born during Tishrei, and therefore even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that he was born Pesach. So where do we know that from? So dichtiv, like this, the pasuk says that the Malach says to Avraham and Sarah, Lamoyed Oshuvei Lecha Ka'es Chaya, or Sarah Vein, at the Yomtiv, Moyed. Now Moyed means an appointed time. The Gemara is taking over here the word Moyed in the sense of the next Yomtiv. So the next Yomtiv, I'm going to return to you, Ka'es Chaya, at this time, as you'll still be alive, or the Sarah Vein, and Sarah will have a son. So we have to understand, in other words, that the Malachim came to Avraham and Sarah around one Yomtiv, and they're telling him the next Yomtiv that's coming up, Yitzchak is going to be born. So we have to figure out. Amos Koi. So when was the Malach telling this to Avraham and Sarah? Ilema Pesach. Oh, you're talking about that he was that they visited Avraham on Pesach because Batseres, and he's telling him the next Yomtiv coming up, which is Shavuos, Yitzchak is going to be born. How is that possible? How could you possibly give birth to a baby after being pregnant for only 50 days? So we're talking about that they visited on Shavuos, and they're saying Yitzchak is going to be born during Sukkos. Still, it would be impossible for her to have a viable baby after only 5 months. It'd have from Shavuos until Sukkos is only 4 months and a little bit, is parts of 5 months, but it's not enough. Evidently, it must be that he came and visited during Sukkos, and he was telling them that Pesach, the next Yom Tov, which is coming up Pesach, then the baby is going to be born. So the Gemara asks about Kati b'shita yarchi mikol yolda. Still, how is it possible that she could give birth in 6 months? Isn't a pregnancy 9 months? And the answer is Tana. Okay, we learned in a Braisa Oisa Shonim or Beres Oisa. That year was a leap year, so therefore you have an extra month to work. The Gemara asks, soif, ki madli mar yume tumah. Still, if you deduct the days of tumah, and we know Rashi mentions that the Gemara in Bava Metzia, when it analyzes the story of the Malachim coming to Avraham and Sarah, it talks about it and analyzes it in great detail. So it mentions over there, Avraham had promised the guest that he's going to bring them ve'echa pas lechem, and he tells Sarah to go and use flour to make lushi basi ugois. In the event, we don't find that he served them bread. Why? The Gemara says because Pirsa Nida, that Sarah became Nida, and therefore the bread became Tomei, and therefore Avraham couldn't serve it to them. So we see that she became Nida then. So now you have to have at least 7 days for her to become Tahar. Once you count that, Batsri Lahu, then you still don't have enough. At this point, the Gemara is assuming that you can have, now we know all over Shas, you can have 7 month pregnancies, but at this point, the Gemara is assuming that 7 months means 7 full months. So mainly, you're going to say that she became pregnant on the first day of Sukkos, then fine. If it's an Ibro, you're 7 months later, the first day of Pesach, you could just barely have that the pregnancy has lasted long enough. But you have to subtract. If she became Nida on the first day Sukkos, then already she's not Tohar until at least Shemini Atzeres, and then you don't have 7 full months. Now, before we get to the answer, actually, so Tosfos and Maharsha have a lot of discussion about many different ins and outs of this. Tosfos points out that actually first of all, Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says that Avraham's Mila took place on Yom Kippur. So now, actually, when the Gemara is saying over here that they came on Sukkos, doesn't actually mean on Sukkos itself. We know they came on the third day of Avraham's Mila. So therefore, if the Mila took place on Yom Kippur, and that's the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says over there, that's one of the schosim that Hashem remembers on behalf of the Jewish people on Yom Kippur, then it comes out the Malachim visited 2 days later on Yud Beis Tishrei, which is a couple of days before Sukkos. Fine, the point is, obviously, they don't mean that the next Yom Tov, which is coming up 2 days from now, Sarah is going to give birth. So obviously, therefore, it means the next Yom Tov, which is coming up months from now, which is Pesach. Then Tosfos goes on to say, well, 1 second then. So if they came on Yud Beis and she became Nida that day, then fine, you still have room for it. There'd still be room for her to have her 7 days of Tumah and then for there to be a full 7 months of pregnancy and she could give birth on Shvi Shal Pesach or Achron Shal Pesach. So why isn't the Gemara taking that possibility up? And the answer is, Tosfos says, because Seder Olam and Mechilta explain that Yitzchok was actually born on Tesvav Nissan. Rashi brings it on the Pasuk in Parshas Boy that when it says, when Hashem had told Avraham that the Jewish people are going to be Avonim Inuosim Arba Meistrana, it was actually 400 years, literally day to day, because Yitzchak was born on Tesvav Nissan of the year 2048, and exactly 400 years later, Tesvav Nissan of 2448 is when they left Mitzrayim. So there's no room to say that he was born any later than Tesvav Nissan. But then Tosfos goes on to point out that actually there are midrashim that say that Rashi mentions on the pasuk as well that actually no, the malachim visited during Pesach, and they're telling him when they say lamoyed lamoyed osheveh lacha, they don't mean the next Yom Tov like the Gemara is saying over here, but rather they mean a year from now, lamoyed, when the time comes around this year, then that so that would disagree with our Gemara over here. So then in that case, so it would mean that not like Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that the Mila took place on Yom Kippur, but rather the Mila took place during Pesach, and the Malachim visited him during Pesach. And so Tosfos says, so Tosfos deals with then in that case, so according to Rabbi Eliezer, how do we reconcile if we're saying according to Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that the Malachim, that Avraham's Mila and the Malachim visited him were during Tishrei, how is that possible? If Hashem told him on Pesach, he's not going to wait 6 months until Tishrei to do the Mila. And so he discusses that they would hold like Rabbi Yeshua, who says, B'nissen Nivra Olam, and therefore Lamoyed Azeh can refer to, the first Yom Tov of the new year, where therefore the new year begins in Nisan. So they mean, in other words, not the next Yom Tov, like our Gemara is saying, but rather the first Yom Tov of the new year, meaning a year from now. That's Tosfos. Maharsha then further on deals with a great deal of detail about that. There was actually, by the way, printed in the Gemara you have on the here on Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Aleph over here in the printed Gemara, the regular Gemara at the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, there's a over there, a note on Tosfos that was added in some later printing that discusses the possibility that maybe in fact maybe we could reconcile and say in fact that the visit of the Malachim was in fact on Pesach, but the Mila took place later on. The visit of the Malachim took place later on during Tishrei, and it discusses that in some detail. And Maharsha also goes into great detail over here, analyzing and discussing this Tosfos, and ends up saying that there's a difference. Now we know there's twice where Hashem tells Avraham that he's going to have a baby. First, Hashem tells him by his bris milah, Hashem tells him that l'moyed azeh b'shona ha'acheres, at this time next year, Sarah is going to have a baby. And then we have, and at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, and then we have in Parshas Vayera, when Sarah laughs and Hashem says that l'moyed oshevei lecha, that I'm going to return to you l'moyed. It doesn't say b'shona ha'acheres. So therefore, Maharsha explains in some detail over here that we can say that yes, Avraham's Mila was in fact on Pesach, not like Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that it took place in Kippur, but rather it was during Pesach. The Malachim then came on Yud Zayin Nissan, but then when he says La Moyed Osher Beilacha, he doesn't mean the next Moyed, which would be Sukkos, which would be Shavuos, as our Gemara is saying over here, because that would be impossible. But rather it means La Moyed Hazeh would mean this next, the same Yom Tov that's going to come next year. So in any case, then the point is that so not necessarily do those Midrashim agree with our Gemara over here that in fact we're talking from Sukkot, so as Tosfos says, from shortly before Sukkot until Pesach, it could have actually been from Pesach to Pesach. So the Gemara says, so the point is that getting back to the Gemara then, the Gemara is assuming that it was, that came Sukkot, so shortly before Sukkot, and even if it was a leap year, you don't have 7 full months once you deduct the days of Otoma. So the Gemara answers, Oma Mazutra, Afilu Lamadu Oma, you let us the test, and you let us the Mkotoyin, even according to the opinion, which the Gemara discusses in Masechta Nida, that a 9-month pregnancy means full 9 months, can have parts of 9 months, the baby born premature like that is not going to be viable. Nevertheless, koya lettuce l'shiva, you lettuce them kutoyin. When it comes to a 7-month pregnancy, then it could be lem kutoyin. It doesn't have to be 7 full months. It could be parts of 7 months. Shenemar, as we find by Shmuel, by Hilas Kufois Hayomim, the pasuk says, after the Tkufois of days. Now, a Tkufa, we just said, is a 3-month period from Tkufas Nisan to Tkufas Tammuz, and Tkufas Nat Tammuz to Tkufas Tish, etc., is approximately 3 months. So, Miot Tkufas Shtayim, when it says Tkufas, it means at least two. Or Miot Yomim Shnayim, when it says Hayomim, means at least two. So, it means that Shmuel was born after a pregnancy of 6 months and 2 days. So, therefore, by the same token, Yitzchak could have been born after such a pregnancy as well. And therefore, that leaves enough time for Sarah to become Tahar. And as long as it was a leap year, then we have enough time for the Malachim to be visiting shortly before Sukkot, for Sarah to become Nida, and then to become Tahar and be able to conceive Yitzchak and give birth to him on Pesach. There's room enough for it, because the 7 months doesn't have to be 7 full months. That note that Haggah printed at the top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis in the Gemara also points out that when you say over there Sarah pierced Nida, it may not have been actually that at that point is when she became pregnant. That might have been a fluke that she became a Nida, but it wasn't yet that her usefulness is restored and that she actually became pregnant yet. That may have happened later on in Tishrei, as our Gemara is saying over here. Moshe Rabbeinu was also born after a short pregnancy, right? Which is how Yocheved was able to hide him for 3 months. Although there you also have the fact that she and Amram were separated for several months, so that also threw off the Mitzrayim's calculations. Yeah, there's places in Chassidus that it talks about where in general, so the average pregnancy is 9 months, which is a balanced amount, because a regular person has a certain amount of zocher and a certain amount of nekeva in them. A person has the qualities of both. On the other hand, it talks about that the Ovos and Moshe and Shmuel were saying over here were all primarily from Alma de Dechura. They're basically from the world of zocher, and therefore they were born after a short pregnancy, like they don't have to spend any more time than necessary in their mother's womb. And on the other hand, it talks about Elio Anovi, where it's brought in some places he was born after a 12-month pregnancy, because he was from Alma de Nukva, so therefore like he needed as much time as possible in his mother's womb, so he was born after a 12-month pregnancy. Yeah. spare a thought for his mother. Alpi Halacha, also, by the way, the Gemara points out in Yevamos, Alpi Halacha, we can consider a pregnancy may last as long as 12 months, which is Negea. For example, the Gemara mentions an example in Yevamos over there, where there was a woman whose husband had gone out of town, and then 12 months after he left, and he hadn't been back all that time, she gave birth, and Rabbi Tosfa over there, one of the last Amoraim, said the baby is kosher. We don't have to assume that she was Mizana, because it is possible that it is still from her and her husband before her husband left town, because it was 12 months. In any case, the point is the Gemara has worked out how we know that Yitzchak was born on Pesach. Next, Rosh Hashanah Nifkada Sarah Rocha B'chana Menolon. Where do we know that, as we said before, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua agree that Sarah, Rochel, and Chana were all remembered on Rosh Hashanah, meaning that Hashem decided, not that they became pregnant then, but that Hashem decided that this year they're going to become pregnant. In fact, Marsha says that based on the whole discussion before, it may be one way of looking at it is the Malachim had already told her Pesach half a year earlier, that she's going to have a baby, but Hashem didn't confirm that until Rosh Hashanah. On the other hand, Tosfos in on the other hand, there's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma that was a couple of weeks ago in Daf Yomi, where the Gemara pointed out over there the vote that when a person davens for somebody else and he himself needs the same thing, Hashem answers him first. And one example the Gemara gives over there is Abimelech and his whole family were suffering from something. Also Hashem had stocked up all their ability to bear children and to do various other things that require the orifices of their body because of Abimelech kidnapping Sarah, and then Avraham davened for them, and Vayupra Lekimas Abimelech, and then Vashem pokered Sarah Kasha Omar, and then the pasuk says Hashem had remembered Sarah as he had said. Where Tosfos explains over there that it doesn't mean that Hashem doesn't mean that she gave birth. That had already been decided months before the whole affair with Abimelech ever happened, but rather that it means that as Avraham had davened for Abimelech that it should go easy on them and they should be opened up and be able to function normally, the same way Hashem made that Sarah opened up and had a baby easily. So therefore, according to Tosfos, that's the nifgada sara, not so much that she's going to have a baby, but that she's going to have the baby easily, rather than with tsar later, as most women do.
6 months.
So we're saying it was a 6 month and a little bit pregnancy. But in addition, also Tosfos explains there in Bava Kamma that it also means that Hashem decided that she's going to have an easy birth in the schus of Avraham davening for Avimelech. What?
It's not clear.
So the Gemara over here again is saying that it could have been only 6 months. Marsha is explaining at length, analyzing Tosfos and other sources, that it may be that from when the Malachim first came to tell her she's going to have a baby was in fact a year until she actually had the baby, but she didn't actually become pregnant until later on, until Tishrei time, as our Gemara is saying. And again, you have that Haggah and the Gemara and various other possibilities that discuss all kinds of different pros and cons in that. Anyway, the Aruch HaNer points out, according to that, you might have to say that the story with Abimelech happened quite some time before Sarah gave birth, because you would have to have then, in order for that to happen, that we're saying that Hashem, that Hu Nena Tchila, that Avraham was answered first, that Sarah should have an easy, should get pregnant and have an easy birth, and we're saying that was as a result of him davening for Abimelech. So it would mean, in other words, that you'd have to have that the story with Abimelech happened the previous year, and then Rosh Hashanah, Hashem had decided that during the coming year, that's going to happen, and Avraham is going to end up davening for Abimelech, and therefore Sarah is going to have an easy birth, and now we're saying that all of that, in fact, happened. Anyway, so how do we know that it was Davka Rosh Hashanah? So the answer is, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Asya Zechira Zechira, Ba'asya Pekida Pekida. Because we have we make a gzeira shava on the word zechira, which means remember, which means remembering, and also on the word pekida, which is another word for remembering. They're both different words for Hashem remembering. One has a more practical, one is that it's remembering, and the other one has a more practical effect. There's different nuances. It says Hashem remembered Rachel and she became pregnant. By Chana, it also says that Hashem remembered her, and then in turn, and in turn, we make zera shava on that word zera from Rosh Hashanah. Dichtiv zichur and trua mikachodesh. There's a remembrance of trua. So we see Hashem is with, and Rosh Hashanah is when Hashem remembers people kavyachol, and therefore that's the time when He remembered Rachel and Chana. As far as v'asya pkida pkida, as far as sora, we learn by the word pkida. Ktiv v'sora v'Hashem pocket a sora kasha amar. By sora, it says Hashem remembered sora as he had said. Ktiv v'b'chana kifokan Hashem aschana. By chana, it uses the expression later on. She had other children after Shmuel, and the pasuk says that Hashem was poiked her. So we see, therefore, that all of them, so Marsha points out, all of them were naturally infertile. All of them, Hashem, all of Zichronim Lefnei Hashem, that Hashem, the remembrance came up before Hashem, that He should change their teva and their mazel, that they should be able to have children. So all of them, all of that happened on Rosh Hashanah. Which is, by the way, why we read the story of Chana as the Haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. That's why we read the story of Hashem Pokad Asara the first day of Rosh Hashanah as well. And as far as Rachel, we mention her in Haftarah the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Rachel Mavaka Abanel. So all three of them are in fact mentioned in the Kriyas and Haftarahs of Rosh Hashanah. The Ramami Fano points out, I mean, you have other examples as well. You have the Isha Ashunamis was also childless for many years, and Hashem finally gave her a child. There's a couple of other examples in Tanakh as well. And he says, yeah, but those was because of a specific maisa they did. For example, the Isha Ashunamis. she and her husband did tremendous achnosis urchim for Elisha, and in the schus of that, they had a baby. It's different over here, where it was in general because of their tzidkur. It's not specifically because of any one particular thing that we can point to that they did that made them more worthy of having a child. Where do we see that Yosef got out of jail on Rosh Hashanah? The pasuk says, "Tiku b'choy the shofar b'kesel yom chagenu." Blow the shofar on the new moon, on the keseh of the day of our Yom Tov, where we learned previously that keseh means when the moon is concealed, or it means that the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh is concealed, or that's the appointed day. And the pasuk continues, "Kichoyku li'Yisraelu." It's a law for Yisrael, mishpat le- the K Yaakov, a judgment for the God of Yaakov, Uchtiv, and the next pasuk continues after that. Egos be Yosef Samai, he made it a testimony for Yosef, which is Yosef. The extra hey was added to his name in the source of that he withstood Potiphar's wife, Betseisal Eretz Mitzrayim, when he went out as the ruler over the entire land of Mitzrayim, Sfasli, Adaiti Eshma, a language that I never knew. I'm able to understand because Gabriel, or the Malach Gabriel, had come and taught him all the 70 languages so that he'd be able to be Mishnah LeMalach. So we see, in other words, that so we see that the pasuk is associating the Tikku B'Chodesh Shofar with Edus B'Yosef Samoy. So we see. So when was Betseisal Eretz Mitzrayim? It was all the same day. He got out of jail. He interpreted Paray's dreams, and on the spot, Paray made him prime minister, etc. So therefore, so we see that all that took place on Rosh Hashanah. Marsha points out there's a symbolism in that. We know that famously that the hay that was taken away from Sarah's name was added to Yosef's name, and later on it was added to the yud was added to Yeshua's name. So the idea being that the hay, the second hay of the name Yudkei Vovkei, represents Malchus. So therefore Rosh Hashanah, which is the day of Hashem's Malchus, was added to Yosef, and with that he was able to become the Melech, or the Mishnah Melech. And the same thing with Yeshua, who's also considered to a certain extent like a melech. So therefore, that's why Dafka the hay was added to their names in token of that. The hated, because Yosef becomes Yehoistev. And Yeshua, Marsha isn't explaining, but maybe there's the vote, there's a couple of places, and there's one place in Tanakh where Yeshua is called Yeshua without the hay, and you have the Kohen Gadol, the first Kohen Gadol, the second Mesmik, which is also sometimes called that. So maybe Marsha is understanding that the hay from Sarah's name was actually added to his name as well to make Yehoshua. Usually we understand that it was started out as Hoshea, and then the Yud that was taken out of Sarah's name was come out of Sarah. Rai's name was complaining, and Hashem put it to Yeshua, but Marsha is apparently understanding that also we can say that the hay that went to Yosef afterwards went to Yeshua, who after all is a descendant of Yosef. So it's all associated, he says, with Malchus. The Oruch HaNer points out also another meaning of the Sfasli Adaiti Eshma. It also has to do with, we know when Yosef came for his audience with Paray, so he didn't know the 70 languages, Malach Gabriel and taught him, then he's trying to speak to Paray in Lashon Kodesh, and Paray can't pick it up, and he has to beswear Yosef to secrecy, because otherwise they'll depose him. So that's all part of, he says, the vote is, in other words, Hashem arranged all of that to happen, so that Yosef has a certain rulership even over Paray, and that makes, that brings an Asinah Koyach, that later on the Jewish people in Mitzrayim are going to be able to also be freed from that and be able to overcome the Mitzrayim because of that Nesinas Koyach that was first given by Yosef being able to be higher than Paro even. So the Sfasli Adaiti Eshma, in other words, is not just Yosef saying, here there's languages that I never knew before and now I understand them as a result of Malach Gabriel. It also means, it also has a nuance, Paro is saying Sfasli Adaiti Eshma, look at that, there's a language that I'm hearing you speak, Yosef, I'm hearing you speak from Kodesh and I don't understand it. And therefore, I have no choice but to appoint you Mishnah LeMalach and to beswear you to secrecy. Rosh Hashanah Botla Avodah Avosenu Mitzrayim Menolon. Where do we see that in Rosh Hashanah the slavery was ended from our ancestors in Mitzrayim, as we learned yesterday? Because in particular, Makas Kinim happened then. But where do we know that? Menolon Asya Svila Svila. We learn by the comparison of the word Sevel. Hashem promises that he's going to take the Jewish people out from under the burdens of Mitzrayim. In Kapitel Pei Aleph, following the same psukim that we were quoting before, it continues, Hashem says, I took away his shoulder from the burden. So now Marsha points out, the fact is, we know that Yosef was a slave in Mitzrayim, and we know he was in jail for 12 years. We don't specifically find that he was carrying heavy burdens on his shoulders, that we should say on him, Hasiroisim Yisevel Shechmai. Therefore, the Gemara is understanding that and goes together with the following psukim, which is clearly talking about the Jewish people collectively. Which is all talking about the Jewish people collectively, and therefore the Gemara is understanding that the Hasidosim Yisabel Shichmoy refers to the Jewish people as well, and therefore that teaches us that their slavery was that their hard burdens were over on Rosh Hashanah, even though the actual Yitzias Mitzrayim wasn't until 6.5 months later, but already at that point the Mitzrayim gave up trying to enslave them. So, but primarily it says elsewhere that because Makas Kinim happened at the beginning of Tishrei, and they couldn't have them make bricks anymore because there's no dirt to make bricks with, and so even after that they didn't bother trying to re-enslave them. Yeah. Okay. B'Nissan Nigalu, next. Rav Yeshua had said that the Yitzias Mitzrayim took place in Nissan. Well, Kedisa, it says in the Psukim that it was in Nissan. Now, so first, Rabbi Eliezer had said that there's a difference between the Geula from Mitzrayim and the Geula Amitis Vashlema. The one from Mitzrayim was in Nissan, but the Geula Hasidah is going to be in Tishrei. So in Nissan, Nigalu Kedeso, but Tishrei Hasidin Ligol Menolon. Where do we know, says Rabbi Eliezer, that the Geula is going to be in Tishrei? Ask your shofar, because we make a Zeta Shava on the word shofar. Here we have where it refers to blowing the shofar. The great shofar will be blown, etc., and they'll all come to Eretz Yisrael, which is Kibbutz Golias, which is one of the stages of Yemos Mashiach. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, you see that those two things are going to happen that those two things are associated. The Tkiyas shofar of Rosh Hashanah has to do with Kibbutz Golias. And of course, we say that pasuk is one of the shofaris in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Sadia Gaon, in fact, mentions when he gives 10 reasons why we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and one of them is exactly that, to look forward to the Gola Amitis Vashlema, which is associated with the shofar Gadol. What?
Benissan,
we don't blow shofar. That's why Rabbi Eliezer is saying that it has to be in Tishrei. The Oruch Haner points out, by the way, he says, so why isn't Rabbi Eliezer learning from the shofar of Matan Torah and say it's going to be in Sivan? He says two possibilities. Either because by Matan Torah it doesn't use the word tkia, whereas here in Tikku b'chol shofar and Yitoka b'shofar Gadol, both of them, it says the word tkia. Second of all, he says, because again, we have to go back to the pasuk where it says, kichot l'Yisrael mishpat l'dekei Yaakov, so Yitzias Mitzrayim, so the Geula, the Torah, the giving of the Torah is not specifically associated with mishpat, with Hashem's midah of gvura, of din. But you see it, but the Geula Amitis Vashlema is associated with Hashem's mishpat, as it says in Hazinu, ki yodin Hashem amei v'alavodi v'snecham, that Hashem is going to judge and stand up for his people because he realizes that they're almost goners, chas v'shalem. So we see that the Geula Amitis Vashlema is going to come through Hashem's midah of gvura, and therefore that's why Rabbi Eliezer is saying that's associated with the mishpat, the Kei Yaakov of Tishrei. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua ibn Nissan Nigalu of Nissan Asid in the Gom and all on. Rabbi Yeshua is saying that the Geula Amitis Vashlema will also be in. And Maharsha also points out, by the way, the shofar represents freedom and Geula. So we said that's why the Jewish people were freed from their slavery on Rosh Hashanah, because they're like this. We have the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah symbolizes freedom, so they got their freedom then. And in fact, the it also represents freedom from the Satan. He brings from a medrash that like this every year when we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, the Satan gets confused. We're going to talk about that later on in the perek, that because the Satan thinks this might be the shofar gadol, and then that's it. I'm finished. My time is over. So that confuses him, so he's not the Catholic anymore. So we see that the shofar is associated with freedom. Of course, it's also associated with freedom when it comes to the Yovel. Anyway, Rabbi Yeshua im ibn Nissan Nigalu of Nissan Asid in the Gormanolon. Where does Rabbi Yeshua get that the Geula Amitis Vashlema is going to be in Nissan? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem. It's a night of guarding for Hashem. That means Laila Hamashumar Abal Mishesh May Bereshis. It's the night which is guarded and reserved ever since Sheshes May Bereshis, that it's going to be the time of Geula. And it continues Shimurim L'chol Bnei Yisrael V'Doraisim Laila Hamashumar La'asid Lavoi, means it's going to be guarded and reserved for all future generations. So what does Rabbi Eliezer answer to that? He who says that the Geula is going to come in Tishrei, he says that Laila Amashumo V'Amin Amazikin. That's something else. It means Leil Shimurim. It's a night which is guarded from Mazikin. which Tosfos points out. Rabbi Yeshua agrees to that as well. Rabbi Yeshua just says you can learn both things from it. The fact is, the Gemara in Pesachim talks about, we learned not so long ago at the end of Pesachim, that even though you have the whole issue of zugos, of eating and drinking in pairs, nevertheless, the Chachamim could make that Dalad Tosfos on Pesach night and not worry about Mazikim, because Leil Shemurim, for that reason, we only say the first parasha of Shema, the first night of Pesach. For that reason, we open the door by Shvoi Chamoscha. For that reason, when the first night Pesach comes out on Shabbos, we don't say Broch Achas Mein Sheva. All of those things have to do with Mazikim, and none of that applies Pesach night. So fine, Rabbi Yeshua agrees that we can learn that from the Pasuk as well, but you can also learn that it's reserved for all the Geulas of future times, whereas Rabbi Eliezer holds not so. The Geula HaMitzvah Shlema is going to be in Tishrei. And again, like we talked yesterday, of course, Eilu Ve'eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and Bechlal, we talked about the Turei Even and a number of other Mefoshim deal with the question that we know Mashiach can come anytime. So among them are, again, there's different stages in Yemos Mashiach, some of which can be a Nissan and some during Tishrei, plus also you have, they also represent two different ways in which we and the Eivishta relate to each other, Isarusa de la Eilu or Isarusa de la Sata. So it's not so much the actual calendar date when Mashiach will come, but rather what kind of Ashpa is it going to be, Mimata Lamaila, which is Mimata Lamaila, which is the Tishrei style, or Mimaila Lamata, which is the Nissan style. Now we're coming into Nissan. Be that as it may, it should be that it's already been delayed long enough. Tishrei, Nissan, Shabbat, whatever it is, Adar, whatever it is, Mashiach should just come already. Okay. Yomiyah Mashiach Gola, your daughter Aleph. So actually, the Rebbe talks about, we're now already, it's high time for Mashiach to Kenu to come. Hine ze melech ha-Mashiach ba. So now, this was Mishpat in Tav Shin Nun Beis, the Rebbe was talking about the disarmament treaties that were taking place at that time in the UN and whatever. So we already see a me'ein, a beginning of the Pa'ula of Melech ha-Mashiach on the nations. As the Pasuk says, he's going to judge and reconcile between the nations and tell off the peoples what to do and what not to do. And they'll beat their swords into plow blades and so forth, that Hashem is putting into the minds of the Malachim, of the rulers of the Umas Olam, which are after all Lev Malachim Sarim Yad Hashem, that they're talking about disarmament and literally taking the swords and taking nuclear weapons, as they were talking about at that time, and using them for peaceful ends. So that was all a me'ein, that's already a me'ein of Mashiach Sashpa on the world. Continuing on halachas of Malachas on Shabbos, you're not allowed to pour hot soup over pieces of bread or matzah. What you should do is first pour the soup into the bowl, let it cool off a little bit until it's ready to eat, meaning after that it defines, it's not yet so let it spoil, and then you can put the bread or the matzah or the croutons or whatever into it. As long as it's boiling, as long as it's hotter than Yad Siladis, but even when it's in a bowl, then you can't do that, because even though it's in a plisheni or shlishi or whatever, it can still be mevashal, a dove or gush, bread or things like that, or a dove or gush, they retain their heat, and therefore you have an issue with it. Similarly, also as far as putting salt or spices into soup, now the Alter Rebbe holds, if it's a plisheni, then you can put spices into it. You certainly can't put them into the pot. You'd have to wait until the pot cools off, that it's roi la'achila. The Alter Rebbe says, actually, don't put it in a kli yudishin, even if it's not yad seladis boy. When you have salt that's made through cooking, as I think much salt is made nowadays, yesh mekilin, then someone may call, because ain't bishol acha bishol. Amachmo is that tova ala bracha. Another example is making tea or coffee. You're going to pour, you're going to put a tea bag, or you're going to put coffee grounds into a keli. And you have sugar there as well. So no, first put the coffee or the tea into the cup that you're going to drink from, and then put the sugar in. For the same reason, in order not to have an issue of bishul and kli rishon or kli sheni. But makom tzorach, where it's necessary, then yesh lahakol.